Thank you, Russ. Well, good morning. And it's especially good to see Carolyn here today. I know that your folks were real glad that you were able to come back. I think that's what Emmett was doing. He was just missing you for a little bit and said, hey, what can I do to get Carolyn to come back? It was really an amazing thing, those of you who weren't here. Excuse me. House cleaning. Okay. So I was just ready to launch into my sermon last Sunday. Elaine pipes up and says, Pastor, I hate to interrupt, but something's wrong with Emmett. Well, he'd been sitting there for several minutes, non-responsive. Now, he wasn't asleep. I know I have that effect on some people, but normally they wait till I start preaching. Okay, but he hadn't even gotten that far yet. And Emmett just was very still. He hadn't, you know, when somebody falls asleep, you know how they get all relaxed and the body slumps over. He wasn't. He was sitting up. His head was just down. And he just was totally unresponsive. Right, waking him up, it wasn't a sleep thing. We had trouble convincing the doctor of this. She seemed to think that maybe he'd fallen asleep, but that was not the issue. However, we cleared an area, and then we prayed for Emmett. And we no more than finished praying than one of the police officers responding came and sat down next to Emmett and asked Emmett, can you hear me? And he popped up his head and started talking after about 15 or 20 minutes of totally being non-responsive. So for those of you who are wondering, does God answer prayer? The answer is yes. Okay, because obviously the Lord did answer our prayers, your prayers for Emmett, and is continuing to answer them. He's doing well again. But when you get drug off to the hospital and then they yank out a tooth, you know, I'm not surprised he didn't show up this week. Okay, but he will be here next week, I'm sure of it. One quick announcement that Butch missed is just, see these spring flower order forms that are in your bulletin? It's the same yellow as the announcement, and that's my mistake. I printed up the announcements without looking at what color we had printed these other things on here. And so they're too close for some of you to notice that you got two pieces of paper the same color and they're not duplicates of the same thing. Anyhow, the spring flower order form. Please get them in as soon as you can. Now, you need to get those into Rachel Hunt. Rachel, stand up. That's Rachel. If you didn't know who Rachel was, that's who the flower order forms need to go to. She also has a mailbox by the steps to the balcony. It says Hunt's on it. Just stick it in the mailbox and she'll get them there. Don't give them to me, I'll lose them. Okay? Understood? Okay. I think that's all the house cleaning items we need to deal with. Though I would encourage you, Butch made the offer that if you would like to join us for the Alpha dinner, which if you're coming for prayer, you are more than welcome to show up. Show up for the dinner. You know, even if you don't want to stick around for Alpha or Life Worth Living or prayer, you can come join us for the meal. When you leave, we'll pray for you. But come join us 6 o'clock on Sunday evenings for either Alpha, Life Worth Living, or then at 6:30 prayer, which is about the time we move into the videos portion of for those other two classes. Okay, we're going to try to do last week's sermon this week, since we didn't do it last week. I did make up a slide presentation. Hopefully that you'll be able to get that. Okay, if you turn your Bible or you can just look up the screen, Gospel of John chapter 12, we'll be looking at verses 23 and following. And Jesus replied, the hour has come for the Son of Man to be glorified. I tell you the truth. Unless a kernel of wheat falls to the ground and dies, remains only a single seed. But if it dies, it produces many seeds. The man who loves his life will lose it, while the man who hates his life in this world will keep it for eternal life. Whoever serves me must follow me, And where I am, my servant also will be. My Father will honor the one who serves me. Now my heart is troubled. And what shall I say? Father, save me from this hour? No! It is for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. The crowd that was there heard and said it had thundered. Others said an angel had spoken to him. Jesus said, this voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He said this to show the kind of death he was going to die. The crowd spoke up. We have heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. How can you say, Son of Man must be lifted up? Who is this Son of Man? Then Jesus told them, you are going to have the light a little while longer. Walk while you have light before darkness overtakes you. The man who walks in the dark does not know where he is going. Put your trust in the light while you have it, so that you may become sons of light. When he had finished speaking, Jesus left and hid himself from them. Amen. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you for the opportunity to study your word. Lord, to look that you would have us to see, to take it into ourselves, and then to live it out in our lives. Father, we pray that you would send your Holy Spirit to illuminate the scriptures for us, that we would have complete understanding of the truth you have for us to this very day. Lord, I pray that the words I speak would be the words that you give me. And Lord, that if I speak anything which is not true or according to your will, I pray as if that those words would be as if they were never spoken. But Lord, I pray that each and every word that you would have me speak would do more than just hit the ears of the hearers, of the people who are here, Lord, but that each person here would be touched in such a way that they would know that they have met with you this day. Now, Father, we just give you this time, and we do ask that you would indeed glorify your name. Amen. Well, it's been an interesting week, different things going on. We're now a week and a half post the Passion of the Christ starting. At this point, how many have not seen the movie? Oh, there's still a pretty good section of you. I would encourage you again, if you have not yet seen it, that you would consider going to it. Again, remember, this is indeed a graphic movie. It does, I believe, do a very good job portraying the true brutality of scourging and crucifixion. So this is not something that you would just go to expecting to walk away with warm fuzzies from. Okay? Please understand, this does indeed graphically portray the reality of the pain and suffering that our Lord went through. But now, say, why am I talking about this movie? Well, this passage that I read today, one phrase jumped out at me. It says, Father, glorify your name. It's proceeded, for this reason I have come. Why did Jesus come? He came to live that perfect sinless life so that he could be that sacrifice for me and for you. That's why he came. That's why he lived. And that's why he died. The sacrifice need to be given. That selfless sacrifice so that you and I could be redeemed. That penalty for our sins could be paid, and that we could receive the gift of eternal life. That's why he came. It says, for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Earlier, Jesus had been glorified. This passage is immediately following the Palm Sunday passage, where he came as a king, heralded as the king of the Jews. People were throwing down their clothes, cloaks down on the ground, palm branches on the ground, while he rode on this little donkey. And people said, Hosanna, Hosanna. They were ascribing glory to him. Glory, out of the dictionary here, is praise and adoration. And to glorify is to ascribe glory to praise. Also to make radiantly beautiful. Now one of the issues that we have as a people is we take some things and we say, okay, that's worth glorifying or that's glory, this over here isn't. And some of the things that we glorify really don't deserve it. We glorify things today in our society that really should indeed probably be churning our stomachs. But that's what we've done. We've said, these people over here, this is wonderful. We have a whole section of our society who is celebrating the travesty of the gay marriages in San Francisco. They're glorifying it. They're saying, this is wonderful, this is great. Now again, the only reason I'm bringing that up isn't because I hate homosexuals or the Bible says that God doesn't love them. He does love them. The reason why I'm saying is that the Bible strictly says that that lifestyle is not something to which we should do. And we shouldn't be ascribing glory to it. We shouldn't be saying, that's wonderful. We often glorify military things. Somebody, a battle. Those of you who actually served in the military, is winning a battle truly glorious? It's a terrible, terrible thing. But yet, there are songs and poems and movies which glorify war. They say, this is wonderful. We've gotten a skewed idea of what glory is, or what should be glorified. That is, what we should be praising, what we should be saying, again, to give praise to or to make radiantly beautiful. That's when we glorify something. When Jesus was coming in on that Palm Sunday, what we refer to as Palm Sunday, that Sunday before the Passover. As Jesus is coming in, everybody is singing, giving glory to Him. But Jesus said, no, Lord, glorify your name. And He comes and said, I have glorified it and I will glorify it again. So they were right to ascribe glory to Him. Jesus said, yep. God said, yes, that is right. He is indeed God. But when He lifted up, what's that talking about? That speaks of the crucifixion. And the people of the time understood that. We look at that phrase, He shall be lifted up. We go, what's that about? But they understood that that spoke of the type of death He would die. And they're saying, well, we've heard from the law that the Christ will remain forever. How then can you say the Son of God must be lifted up? Because if He's going to be remain forever, why would He die in such a fashion? What we see here is Jesus saying, I've come for the hour. Now, Lord, show us what true glory is. And honestly, we glorify that which is the most difficult to overcome. That's what we ascribe praise to. If a child does an easy task and you throw a party and celebrate, they kind of say, and what's that about? But if they have accomplished some major goal and have worked hard and overcome it, and then you throw a party and celebrate, they say, yes! Because you're rightly ascribing praise and glory to it. You're giving praise and saying, yes, this is good. When Jesus overcame sin on the cross, He did that which is most difficult. Nobody else could do it. Not one person on the face of the earth could do that. Not one. Not one who had ever walked the face of the earth was without sin, aside from Jesus. So it was indeed a most difficult task, and it wasn't just easy for Him because He was God incarnate, because He limited Himself. He said, I will be man. He came to earth, and He was tempted just like you and me. He didn't walk around with this evil repellent on Him. You know, He didn't have like the bug spray, you know, you spray on so the mosquitoes don't come and get you. He wasn't saying, oh, you know, yeah, I'm God, you know, you can't tempt me. He was tempted. But He overcame. See, to be tempted is not to sin. Succumbing to temptation is to sin. Don't let the enemy fool you with that lie. Now, how did Jesus overcome it? The most difficult of all things. That is sin in you and I. Sin in the world. He did it by dying the most humbling and gruesome death imaginable. See, if somebody was to die a regal death, an important death, they were beheaded or something like that. Crucifixion was for those who were lowly, those who you wanted to humiliate, those who were beneath contempt. That's why the Romans crucified so many people. They wanted to subjugate the people, show their contempt for them. But yet Jesus chose that avenue to fulfill the work of salvation. And to that we need to ascribe glory to Him. And God did indeed glorify His name. It's a heavy book. There's a theology called the theology of the cross. It's a teaching. It's Luther's term for the approach which claims to know God through His works. But specifically, they look at the healings, the miracles, the flashy stuff, the stuff out front where, you know, get up and walk. Emmett, sit up and talk. And we can look at those and we say, yes, glory be to God. That's flashy, exciting stuff. But the theology of the cross says that we know God's glory best, not in that, those miracles, which are indeed God working in the world. But we know God best by the depth of His love and the work that He does through His death on the cross. Remember, when Jesus spoke these words, he's 4 or 5 days out anyways from his crucifixion. I don't know about you, but if I knew somebody was going to be crucifying me in 4 or 5 days, I don't know if I would be saying, this is why I came here. I'd be looking for the exit. Father, save me from this hour? No. It was for this very reason I came to this hour. Father, glorify your name. Then a voice came from heaven. I have glorified it and will glorify it again. God's glory. His shining moment of Jesus Christ was the one where He gave up His life on the cross for us. That was the point of God's glory. His ultimate action of worth. Not because I say so, but because God says so. His voice was for your benefit, not mine. Now is the time for judgment on this world. Now the prince of this world will be driven out. But I, when I am lifted up from the earth, will draw all men to myself. He took sin upon himself and he drew us all. He made it possible for each and every one to come to the Father. Every man, woman, and child can come to the Father through the Son, Jesus. Only because He went through that most difficult thing, that most glorious, painful, wonderful, terrible experience of being crucified for my sins and yours. We're going to receive communion this morning. And I just want you to think that what went on at the crucifixion of Christ, it was and is indeed the glory of God in action. It is God overcoming that which was most difficult. That which was the greatest barrier between He and us, between you and Him. As we take communion this morning, I would ask that you would ascribe glory, that you would glorify God. Give Him praise. Adoration. Look in yourself and see what it is that He took from you upon Himself and then washed you clean. Justified you before a righteous God. So that you can spend all of eternity with Him. Ask the elders.